All right, my friends, as we prepare for the message, would you bow with me as we open our hearts, our minds, and our lives? Let's pray. Amen. What is it that I want you to walk out of here with? It's this sentence. When we as a people are dancing together in God's great power, we are able to move past our guilt and our shame into God's great kingdom. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. Don't worry about what you don't know. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. I am a great fan of wedding dances. I love to dance, and I love the power of wedding dances. And one of my favorite happened years and years ago. It was with my Uncle Joe. Well, actually, the proper pronunciation of his name was Uncle Joe. See, Uncle Joe was one of the only Norwegians that married into our mostly German family. And Uncle Joe was this short little Norwegian up in North Dakota with this constant smile and laughter and just joy that radiated. Well, the day came when his youngest granddaughter, one of my cousins, was getting married up in Bismarck. So we went up. It was at a Lutheran church. Oh my gosh, the celebration was just so wonderful. The ceremony was great. We went together over to the Holiday Inn in Bismarck, and this Uncle Joe, who by now was in his upper 80s, it was an exhausting day for that guy. And so he had been sitting around all day, which is exhausting in itself. He was cobbled up. He was moving. He was stiff. He was slow. He took his cane in his right hand, and as he walked into the Holiday Inn, he always had a grandkid on the other arm. Grandson, granddaughter, the bride. It was always somebody there for him because, you know, he was a tired old man. They sat him at a table right next to the dance floor. And then one of the grandkids said, "I'll go get you a plate, Grandpa." And while he was gone, he began talking with anybody that would pass by and stop and talk to him. And he was laughing and smiling. They brought his plate. He ate. And then eventually, the music started. And I'm telling you, the first piece of music was one that he recognized. I kid you not, he grabbed the hand of the first woman who walked past his table, and whoosh, they were out on the floor, forget the cane. That boy could dance, and I was reminded that he had danced his entire life. Every Friday, every Saturday, down at the hall, dance until midnight, down into the basement for kolaches. You know, whatever was going on, he was there, dancing. It was all about dancing together. And this is where so much of his laughter came from, just dancing together. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. Don't worry about what you don't know. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. When we as people are dancing together in God's great power, we can move beyond our guilt and our shame into God's great kingdom. Let's talk about Thomas. Here is something that is really, really interesting. Did you know that the gospel according to John, as we currently have it, is not the original version? The oldest existing versions that we have are missing a whole bunch of stuff. What happened was that they wrote the original gospel, and then that Johannine community, as the years and generations went by, said, "Ooh, we forgot a part. Let's add this." And so what we see is that the introduction, there's a huge part of chapter 1 that is there that wasn't in the original. And there are stories, salt and peppered. But here's what ties into today. the ending that we have now of John in the 21st chapter, which is the story of Jesus meeting Peter on the beach and redeeming Peter. No, that wasn't the original ending. That was all gone. The story of Thomas was the original ending. This was the power of what they wanted to be taken away in the message. What was that story? Thomas, one of the faithful 12 of the disciples, was with Jesus all the way through his ministry and all the way through his crucifixion, through that time of resurrection. On the day of resurrection, the disciples were all hiding. And Mary came back and said, "He's gone." And so this concept of resurrection began to seep into them that night, that very night. Jesus appeared to the disciples in a closed room, except Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. And then Jesus spoke to them, "Peace. Peace I give you." And he closed his time with them in saying and teaching, "Remember, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. But if you don't forgive the sins, they aren't forgiven." Jesus left and Thomas returned. And the disciples said to Jesus, or rather said to Thomas, "You're not going to believe what happened." And Thomas, in effect, said, "You are right. I am not going to believe what just happened. Not until I see Jesus with my own eyes, not until I touch the scars, touch his side, not until I see that with my own eyes am I going to believe it." 8 days later, all the disciples are gathered together again. Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace." But then he turns to Thomas and says, "Thomas, touch." What I love about the story is that Thomas never does touch him. Instead, he says, "Lord, I'm good. I believe." And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who believe, even though they haven't seen." Now let me ask you this. In the first part of the story, when Thomas was missing, and then Thomas returned, and then Thomas found out what he had missed, what were the emotions? What was going on in Thomas's head and heart? Oh, I can guess frustration. Are you kidding me? Doubt. Really? Are you guys joking? I can guess anger. I can guess confusion. I can guess guilt. And with that comes guilt's sister, shame. I wasn't here. I should have been here. We don't know why Thomas was missing. It very easily could have been something as simple as somebody had to go get food. Or somebody had to go out into the community and see what was going on. What was going on inside of Jewish leadership, Roman leadership? How safe was it out there? What was going on inside of Thomas's head and heart was really powerful. And I'll absolutely guarantee you that guilt and shame were part of that. Somehow, some way, woven in. And then Jesus returns. And on that night, directly goes to Thomas. In effect, what did Jesus do? Jesus basically erased all that had happened before. With Thomas being gone, with him missing out of the room, with the guilt and the shame that goes with that, Jesus says, "It's okay, Thomas. Touch. Thomas. Thomas." In effect, what he was doing was forgiving. The first time, Jesus ended with the words, "When you forgive, those sins are forgiven. When you don't forgive, those sins are not forgiven. He spoke it the first time, but the second time that he was there, he lived those words. He demonstrated those words in person. This is what I love. When we talk about guilt and shame, we have to talk about the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being more powerful than any guilt and any shame that we can carry. So let's talk about this dance together. Let's talk about guilt and shame in that dance. First of all, every single one of us carry guilt and every single one of us carry shame. Every single one of us. But with that, when is the last time that anyone openly invited you to talk about your guilt and your shame? Oh, probably never. The power of guilt and shame lies in the fact that it is unspeakable. Now, what is the difference between these? Guilt deals with what you have done. All right? So I wake up on a Tuesday morning and I decided I'm going to go rob a bank. I go rob the bank. This is something that I did. I am now guilty with my actions and my behavior of robbing the bank. I carry that guilt. But shame is far, far deeper. Shame is not what I do. Shame is who I am. If I robbed a bank, that was my action, what does that make me? It makes me a robber, a thief. Ah, there's a difference. This is what I did, and this is who I am. The problem is that who I am goes far, far deeper. And a lot of times, it is not deserved. There are times when we ask for forgiveness, and when we ask God for forgiveness, or our neighbor, or our family, or ourselves for forgiveness, we think that it's about guilt. It's about the things. Can you forgive me for what I did? But the deeper part that is so much more difficult to deal with is, can you forgive me for who I have become? Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Listen to this. Guilt is not guilt unless we choose to accept it. Whether it is someone else who is accusing us of a behavior or us accusing ourselves, guilt cannot be guilt unless we accept it. Now, shame cannot be shame unless we choose to live with it. And we don't even realize that we're choosing to live with it. Interestingly, what I may be guilty of and I feel shame for, the person standing next to me might be guilty of the exact same thing but feels no shame. Do you see what I'm saying? Guilt is only guilt if we choose to accept it, and shame is only shame if we choose to live with it. And the problem is not knowing how to let it go. Guilt and shame can just be killers. Why? Because they're unspeakable. And the less we speak about them, the more power they have in our lives. Do you think that Thomas dealt with guilt and shame? The answer is yes. Now, he also dealt with a risen Lord who said, Thomas, it's okay. And the end of the original Gospel of John was a releasing of Thomas. All right, what happened in Thomas' life? This is not in the Bible. This goes into our history. So, if that episode with the risen Jesus in that room happened somewhere kind of sort of around the year 30, we don't know exactly, but around the year 30, what we do know is that we have accurate historical accounts of Thomas surfacing again about 20 years later in the year 52. Where? You ready for this? India. India. Do you have any idea how many miles there are between Jerusalem and the southern tip of India? It's huge. Thomas was the apostle who was sent out. He went far to the southeast through Arabia, down into the Indian peninsula, down to Kerala state. And in Kerala state, he founded a group of Christians, a movement of Christianity that today is known as the Martoma. And this group of Christians, this denomination, this church, whatever you want to call it, is still in existence today. Now, could Thomas have done that because he felt guilty? Well, yeah. Could Thomas have done that because of the deep shame that he was carrying? Yeah. Or did Thomas do that because he had been freed from all of it? Did Thomas do that because he was celebrating? He wasn't carrying the guilt. He was celebrating the releasing of the guilt. He wasn't caught down by the shame. He was celebrating the releasing. It was freed him to go do what he needed to do. And for at least the next 20 years, he worked in and among those down in the southern tip of India as he established those communities of Jesus Christ. When we dance together in the great power of God, we can move beyond, we can let go of our guilt and our shame and live in the great kingdom of God. When we dance together. Now, what does this mean? It means vulnerability. Many people will see vulnerability as a weakness. It is not. The ability for us to drop our masks, to lower the wall, to open ourselves to people is not a sign of weakness. It is just the opposite. It is a sign of deep, deep strength. What does it mean? Let me tell you about my grandmother. My grandmother was the second of 20 children. Her parents had just emigrated a year or two before from the Germany-Poland area into Saskatchewan up in Canada. Over the years that would follow, my grandmother would hold at least three of her siblings as they died. She was farmed out when she was 10 years old to go work for some of the neighbors to get any kind of income into that deep, deep poverty. When she was 17, she left home and came down into the United States, up into East Grand Forks on the western edge of Minnesota. She worked hard. She worked hard in a laundry. She worked hard in a slaughterhouse. And then, in her early 20s, she became pregnant. And my oldest aunt was born, followed by my mother. It was the weirdest thing. It was not until my mother was almost 50 years old that they went over to the county courthouse in Crookston and were looking for family information, and what they discovered was that my grandmother, who had always celebrated her wedding anniversary to my grandpa, had always celebrated that in 1923, lo and behold, the actual date was 1924. For all of my mother's life, my grandmother had hidden the fact that my aunt had been born out of wedlock. I want to talk about guilt. I want to talk about shame. My grandmother lived with that guilt and that unspoken root of shame her entire life. Now today, we would look at that and say, It's fine. It's okay. But not then. Not in her community. Fascinatingly, of course, all of her friends knew about it. Years and years and decades later, when we would go back and talk to grandma's friends, they would say, oh, of course. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the way it was. Turned out okay, didn't it? What is it that you're carrying? What is the guilt and the shame that you are carrying that is deep down and has become a deep, deep part of you and has changed you? Listen to me. In that original ending of John, Jesus said this, if you forgive sins, those sins are forgiven. But if you do not forgive them, they are not. This does not just apply to others, it applies to ourselves. When we choose to not forgive our own selves, then the shame just gets deeper and stronger and tears us apart. I want you to know today that there is a healing. I give thanks for my grandmother's witness as she grew, as she matured, as she became this woman of God who cared so deeply about mothers who weren't married. God has a way of moving in and through our guilt, moving in and through our healing, our shame into healing. What do I want you to take home today? Oh, my friends, as a people of God, when we are dancing together, we can move past the guilt and the shame with God's great power into God's great kingdom. Did you know that with your guilt and your healing, with your guilt and your shame, there is healing? May it be this week that you can learn to dance again, past the guilt, past the shame, let it go, because in God's great power, we are dancing together. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to give you thanks for the ways that you can move in and through even our deepest, darkest secrets. Lord, you're there waiting to reclaim our lives, ready to remold us, reshape us, and resend us into the world again and again and again. Lord, we pray for your healing. We pray for your power. In Jesus' name, amen.